Psalm 105. Look at Psalm 105 tonight. Next Sunday morning, we'll answer another question. And that question has to do with what about babies or mentally handicapped young children, babies and young children who die, or people that are mentally handicapped, you know, people who aren't old enough to really understand the gospel, or people who are handicapped in such a way that it would make it hard for them to understand the gospel. That's another question that has been asked. The question about children has been asked by more than one person this year, so we're going to answer that. And then someone asked about what about people with mental handicaps. We're going to look at that as well. And just as this morning's sermon did, Brother Dwayne and I were talking about how, you know, this morning's sermon opened up a lot of other things. There were a lot of other things that we looked at. We got beyond that, you know, that question, and then it opened up some other things. This topic that we're going to preach, that I'm going to preach on next Sunday morning, is the same way. It opens up some other very interesting things that we'll need to look at. And then next Sunday night, I'm not sure where we'll be. We'll probably just take a look at something real simple like we're going to do tonight. But then the following Sunday morning, we'll begin Genesis. And we'll be there for, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then we'll go over to John for about 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to just kind of go back and forth. That's what we're going to try. Now, we might get to a point where God says, stay right there. And we just stay in one book, or, you know, I don't know. We're just going to see. We're just going to see how this works. I kind of think this is. I'm sure that the books are right, but trying it this way, I'm pretty sure that's how God is leading to kind of do it this way. We'll find out in a few weeks if it is, or if it was just my own idea. And if it's my own, we'll abandon it and we'll do whatever it is that God has for us to do. But the Bible instructs me to preach the Word. And so that means wherever we go in this book, if we preach wherever we're at preaching in this book, we're being obedient to God, because He said preach the Word, and that's all of it. So this evening, Psalm 105, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." Lord, one more time, I just ask that You'd help me to preach it and help us all to be changed by Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You look there at verse number 6, and it says, "Oh, ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen." That lets us know specifically who this psalm is directed to, the nation of Israel. But the admonitions that they're given here, the things that they are told to do, apply to all of us, okay? We are not Israel. We are the church. However, these principles still remain. We talked about that this morning. Though we are not under the letter of the New Testament, of the Old Testament law, the principles of the law still remain. God tells us in the book of Malachi, "I change not." Okay? God's dealings with man and His way of dealing with man has it changes. And that doesn't mean that God got to a certain point and then decided to do things differently, but He chose in the beginning to deal with man in a certain way, and He went through the law, and now the dispensation of grace, and the kingdom, millennial kingdom, will follow. And so God does not change, and so even though things like the law have been fulfilled and we're not under the lawmaker still exists, and the lawmaker still holds us to those principles, not the letter of the law, but the principles. That's what we said this morning, talking about respecting the body and talking about how in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they were prohibited from piercings and markings in their flesh, what we would call tattoos and things like that. And though that law, we are not under that specific letter of that law, the principle remains that if God didn't want His people to do that then, and like we said this morning, we understand that sometimes the past and things we've done in the past, we carry those things with us sometimes. We understand that. But the principle is still the same. Respect the body because God made the body and made us in His image. Okay, so we need to respect that. The principle is still there for us today. But we come to this 105th Psalm and we find these instructions given to the nation of Israel that though we are not the nation of Israel, we are to obey these principles right here. And if we would obey these principles, what a change would be wrought in our lives if we would obey these principles right here. It's easy. It is very easy to get weary, to get distracted, to get lazy, to get complacent. It's very easy to get forgetful when it comes to our service for Christ, isn't it? If we're not careful, it's easy to let the guard down. It's easy to be distracted. And what you're distracted by might not even be something bad. But it's just easy to be distracted sometimes. You might have a good job that God gave you, and it's good work, and you're working hard at it. But sometimes that job that's good can be a distraction to your service to the Lord. Okay? Sometimes that happens. This world that we live in, we said this morning, it's a depressing place to live if you don't have Christ. What I want to say about the world tonight is it's awful loud. The world is awful loud. Just loud. We went camping this past week and weekend. And we always camp. We're at an advantage homeschooling because you can kind of camp whenever you want and work your schedule around it, you know. We normally will camp on a Thursday night and Friday night, come home on Saturday. Which is good because Saturday night is usually the busiest night in a campground. Friday is too, but Saturday's the worst, and you can avoid a lot of nonsense. You still run into it on Friday, as we did this past weekend. But normally you get there on Thursday, and it's just real quiet, and there's nobody there but you and a few other campers, and then some people start to come in. And we will take our instruments a lot of times and sit around and play. But on Saturday, whenever we were getting ready to leave, this big rig comes rolling in, and it's one of these that if you know anything about campers, what they're doing now is they're making them to where they have these big doors that open up, these big panels that open up on the side of them. And in that panel, you might have anything from a kitchen to a widescreen television. Don't get any ideas about next year's camp out. You could have, I mean, you open this up, you don't know what you're going to find. Well, this guy's setting this thing up, and he has that open. And he doesn't have just a regular stereo in there. He has one a loudspeaker, and it's bigger than these that we have here. It's about that tall, about that wide, and the radio's on. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but music coming through a loudspeaker does not sound the same as live music. It takes on a whole different kind of sound when it's coming out of the speaker than it does if you're listening to an instrument being played. And it's just kind of a noise is all it is, especially the type of music, and then you turn it up, it's just a noise. One of the boys said, good thing we're leaving today. Look what just pulled in. And they were over there cranking that up, you know, and it's noise. Everywhere you go, it's noise. You've heard me say this before. A lot of places here in town, you can't pump your gas without there's a radio or a television right there in front of you, just yelling at you all the time. You go into the store, there's music playing, you can't even think. The world's loud. It's screaming for attention. It's easy to get weary. It's easy to get worn out. But But this is not an excuse to get lazy or complacent or worn out. But rather, it's a reason for us to be diligent and to guard ourselves with the armor of God. We ought not say, well, it's not my fault that I get so worn out living in this world. It's a tough world to live in. Yeah, it's a tough world to live in, but because of that, we have to be even more diligent, don't we? Because it's a loud world, because it's a depressing world, because it'll wear you out if you let it, you have to make sure you don't let it. You have to make sure you don't let the world get the best of you. You have to make sure that you stay on guard and that you guard yourself with the armor of God. If you find yourself in this state, right here we find a list of instructions in the 105th Psalm that perhaps you're neglecting. If you find that the things of the world are beginning to kind of just, you know, the head is drooping and the arms are hanging down, and maybe it's because we're not doing what's listed for us here in the 105th Psalm. Maybe your reason for being lazy, complacent, distracted, weary, forgetful when it comes to your service is because you've just departed from these truths of the 105th Psalm. And if we would go back there, if we would go back to, I guess we could say, back to home plate and get our feet grounded once again, you know, get back to the basics, get back to where we started. You ever, I think I was talking to the Hawks about this the other night. You go into a room and then you're standing there going, what did I come in here for? You go outside and it's what I come outside for. And I was telling them, I'll go into the basement and I'll get down there. And it's jam-packed, so I could have gone down there for anything. There's so much stuff down there. I go down there and, man, what did I come down here for? You know what I have to do? Same thing you guys do whenever you do this. I got to go back upstairs and go back into that room where I was when I thought I need such and something out of the basement. And then you go back and you get in there and then you walk over to, oh, now I remember. And then you go back down. Or you're talking. What were we talking about before that? No, before that. Let's see here. You've all done it. What are you doing? I forgot. I got off track. I got to get back to where I was when I first had that thought. Let's get back to Psalm 105. If we're distracted by the world and kind of weary, kind of lazy, kind of off track, let's go back to Psalm 105. Maybe we've just stopped doing some of these things. Let's just examine our hearts tonight in light of this scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to convict us. And let us be resolved to respond when the Holy Spirit says, you're not doing that. You stop doing that. You're doing that, but not like you used to. You've let this slip. Let's say, Lord, forgive me. And starting now, I'm going to get back at it. First of all, notice where this psalm begins. Give thanks. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. I'm convinced that we just don't thank Him enough. We just don't think. You know why certain things get us so upset and depressed and out of sorts? Because we let them become such big problems in our eyes because we have forgotten everything that we have to be thankful for. Why is this thing such a problem in light of everything God's done for me? Because we oftentimes forget what God's done for us. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. You know, I make it a practice. This is my own personal practice. Maybe you would like to do this as well. I'm not saying you have to. This is personal, okay? All right? This is entirely out of the book of Grant, which is not scripture. This is all just me. I like to make it a practice when I pray not to make a single request until after I have given thanks. I heard that somewhere in a sermon, or it made sense to me, and so I started doing it. When I pray, I enjoy thanking God first before I ever make a request. You know one thing that it does? It will take your list of requests and knock a bunch of things off of it. By the time you get to the request, you realize, man, after all he's done for me, I don't even need to worry about that. And you'll make the requests that are really important. If your prayer life is all request and no thanks, or all request and maybe a little bit of thanks there at the end, you may fall into just seeing that list of requests grow and grow and grow. But if we will give thanks to God for what he's done, have you forgotten all that God has done? Has it become old news to you? Let me ask you this. Are you taking anything for granted? Do you thank him for the simple things? Well, what do I have to thank God for? Are you saved? If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have more to thank him for than you could ever adequately thank him for. If you never went beyond salvation, if you never went beyond thanking him for saving you, you've got enough to thank him for eternity right there. But if you're saved, it doesn't end there. You have even more to thank him for. Let me ask you this. When you think about simple things, I remember John Haas sharing with me, I think he said, John, I'm sorry if I've got this wrong, but I think you told me that your mother said this to you, and it stuck with me. I think John told me this when we first came here, and it really stuck with me. That his mother said, John, don't you thank God for water to drink? And didn't you tell me your mother said something like that? And she said something to John about, don't you just thank him for water and air and simple things like that? That stuck with me. I am thankful that not only did I have something to eat today, it was good. It wasn't just to keep me alive. It was, and I had a choice. And I had all these different choices there in the fridge. And on the way home, there was money in the wallet where if I wanted to stop and get something, I could have done so. I'm thankful for that. You know, this morning the rain was coming down, and I woke up dry. We got here to church and no buckets were out. And how about we got in an automobile and rode to church tonight? Oh, well, you're just picking out every little thing, don't you? Should we not be thankful for every little thing and every big thing? Thankful for salvation. Thankful for good spouses. Thankful for good children. If you have good parents, you're thankful for good parents. If you have a good church, and by the way, you do. We have a good church here. You can say that that's haughty, but it's not, because it doesn't have anything to do with me or you. We have a good church because we preach the word and we let God build this church. So we can say, this is a good church, because it's not ours, it's God's church. I'm thankful for this place. We look around and we're not sitting in here just three or four of us. Someone was telling me here recently about a pastor who, I don't know how many people are in the church, but he and his wife do absolutely everything in the church. And it's not because other people can't. They just won't do anything. They leave everything to the pastor. I don't know the pastor. I don't even know his name. I just know Brother Tracy was sharing this with me. A church that he preaches at sometimes. He said on Wednesday nights, okay, they go out, they do all the outreach and everything alone. They do everything. I think on Sunday afternoons, they don't even go home. They sleep on the pews to take a nap in the afternoon so that they can do some work around the church. Wednesday afternoons, this pastor and his wife fix soup and sandwiches for the church. The church shows up, they eat supper together, and then they have their Wednesday night service together. And nobody ever, everybody shows up to the table and nobody ever offers to make anything or bring anything. They just leave it. They just take, 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 take. And he was talking about just this strain that's on this pastor. Hey, I'm thankful we don't have that here. You ought to be thankful that it's not just a handful of us doing God's work, that we're working together and that we have fellow laborers. We start with salvation, and then we look at our families and we look at our homes and we look at our church, and we have so much to thank Him for, we take it for granted sometimes. What have you forgotten? Has it become old news? Are you taking anything for granted, and do you thank God for the simple things? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Let's just start there. Let's just start there. You know, the older that I get, the more the Thanksgiving holiday becomes my favorite holiday of the year. When I was growing up, I enjoyed Thanksgiving and Christmas. The older I get, the more sense Thanksgiving makes to me. The older I get, the more and there's a lot of reasons, but the Thanksgiving holiday makes absolute perfect sense. It was started by our forefathers to thank God for His provision and protection. And we still, I know a lot of people, it's football and turkeys. I get that. And if it's football and turkeys at your house, that's fine. Just make sure that's not all it is. But a lot of people, that's all it is. And it's, you know, the beginning of the season of greed. Used to be the day after. Now it's on Thanksgiving. Let's go down and beat somebody up over a television. Nothing says Thanksgiving like knocking somebody in the head with a flat screen, But the older I get, the more I look at the holiday of Thanksgiving and I think, boy, this makes sense. We ought to be doing this every single day. We ought to be doing this every single day. It ought not just be one day a year that we talk about what we're thankful for. Every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving, because every day we ought to be giving thanks to God for what He has done. Well, I got up this morning and I hurt so bad. Yeah, but you just now said you got up this morning. Be thankful you got up this morning. Be thankful you're still alive to feel that pain. I might have a twisted way of looking at things, but God's going to get the glory no matter what. Give thanks. Now look what He says. By the way, I think I know what I'm preaching next Sunday night. Psalm 105, part 2. Call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. So the psalmist says, hey, thank our Lord in heaven. Notice that he doesn't give a big long description telling people what to be thankful for, because you don't need a big long description. We should understand. We should be able to look around and just see what I'm to be thankful for. Then he says, call upon His name. How can you have a right fellowship with someone that you do not communicate with? How can you be in close fellowship with someone that you never talk to? And you never listen to them? You talk to God in prayer, He talks to you through His Word. Oh, I want to be a better Christian. Are you praying? Are you in the Word? Well, you know, then nobody's buying it. Because if you want to be a better Christian, if you want to be who God wants you to be, you'll get in the Word, you'll get in prayer, that's all there is to it. That hurts, nobody likes it, that's the truth. Well, I want to grow more. I want to be closer to Him in this fellowship. Okay, are you talking to Him? Are you listening to Him? Well, you know, I'm better than I was. I read once a week now instead of once a month. Then nobody's buying it.
And God's not buying it. He said that if we would draw nigh unto Him, He'd draw nigh unto us. You want to be closer to God in fellowship? Prove it. We prove it. Talk to Him, listen to Him, obey Him. And then we will see Him draw nigh unto us. You don't need my experience to validate the Scriptures. The Scriptures validate themselves. But I can attest to the fact that every time in my life that I have neglected prayer and God's Word, I suffer in my fellowship with Him. Every time. And every time that I want my fellowship to be better with Him and I get back to prayer in the Word, my fellowship gets stronger with Him. Every single time. Don't take my experience, take the Bible. Book of James, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. He said He would, He keeps His word. He has every single time. I find myself, I look around at my life and I see different things happening and I just feel so destitute. And sometimes there are these desert times when you're doing everything right or you think you're doing everything right and you're trying and God just says, you just need to go through this right now. That's not what we're talking about. Those happen. But what we're talking about is those times where just things are, it's just not working. It's just not working and all these things are piling up. And I can't tell you the number of times that that's happened to me and I've stopped and realized, look at how little you've been in prayer and the Word. And when you have been, it's more like a habit than anything else. And that's the key right there. That's the cause right there. So we can say it and say it and say it and say it and say it, but until we do it, that's all we're doing. We're just saying. He says, call upon His name. Talk to God. Well, He knows what I'm thinking. He said to call on Him. You know that there is not one ounce of doubt in my mind that my wife loves me. I know that that woman loves me. She has proven to me for 20 plus years that she loves me. We were saying the other day, what's today, the 15th? Okay, so a couple week or so ago, October the 5th, was the 21st anniversary of our very first date. We're driving somewhere and she says, you know what today is? Oh, every man hates that question. You know, you're driving, you know what today is? Wednesday. Yesterday it was tomorrow, now it's today. But I think I picked it up. I think I remembered. Because I think I said, it's the 5th. It's October the 5th. And Amy and I realized, and those of you that have been married for a long time, you probably remember when this happened to you, when you realize you've spent more of your life together than you have apart. That is fantastic. And we were talking the other day, and then our daughter had some kind of 21 years, really? You know, you bunch of fogies. Really? 21? Whatever. But Amy and I were talking about that the other day, about, you know, 21 years and married for 18 and just how long we've been together and everything. You know what? After all that time, there is no doubt in my mind that my wife loves me. If I don't know it this late in the game, there's a problem. I know it. I've known it for years. And she knows that I love her. Does that mean we never have to say it again?
Does that mean I never have to say to her, I love you? Hey, let's take a break for a minute. If you sit up front and I say those things, please don't look at your spouse when everybody in the back. I love those moments in the service when you say those, and then there's always a husband or wife that goes, or you can see they're getting nudged. You can't. Nobody's looking around, but you see somebody's get. What are you hitting me for? I'm just playing with you. Good. I got enough to preach on. Do we still say it? Do I still tell Amy that I love her? Yes. Does she still tell me? Yes. I know it. She knows it. She likes to hear it. I like to hear it. You like to. Hey, well, God knows what's on my mind. That has nothing to do with it. It has to do with speaking to your Father and being in communication with Him. How can we have a right fellowship if we do not communicate with Him? Let me ask you this. When problems come, who do you turn to? It says here, call upon His name. When something happens, who do you turn to? You going to go to the one with the answers? Or are you going to look within yourself? Or are you going to look to other men? Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Are you giving thanks? Are you calling upon His name? Are you talking to Him? Make known His deeds among the people. Are you being a witness? Boy, you know, things just don't seem to be going like they used to be, and just seems like I'm dragging and I'm so empty. Okay, you giving thanks? Yeah, I'm thanking Him all the time. Are you talking to Him? Yeah, I'm talking to Him. Are you telling other people about Him? Says here, make known His deeds among the people. You know why it's so important to go out and make known His deeds among the people? Because those people have no idea what God's deeds are unless we take it to them and tell them. They don't come to us, we're supposed to go to them. Go ye, make known His deeds among the people. Be a witness. Spread the gospel. Maybe the reason for the empty feeling or the laziness or whatever it is, maybe it's because somewhere in your life you're being disobedient to the call and the instruction to tell other people about Him. You can't live in disobedience to God and expect everything to be all right with Him. So you might be giving thanks and talking to God, and He's talking to you and His Word. You leave one thing out. One thing that causes disobedience, and the fellowship won't be as sweet as it's supposed to be. And some Christians have got it. I mean, they're obeying everything, they're doing everything, but they're tight-lipped with the lost. Just not telling anybody how to be saved. You can't leave that out. If you left home one day and told one of your children, here's what you need to do before I get home, and you give them a list, and you came home and everything was done except for that one thing, are you going to say, all right, good, you did everything? Or are you going to say, why didn't you do that? It was right there on the list. If you said to your child, you get this, 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 and this done, and then we'll do this. There'll be this reward. We'll go fishing. We'll go out for a sandwich or something. Whatever it is. We'll play ball. Whatever it is. You come home and they haven't done it. And you say, nope. You did. Why can't we go do what you said? Because you didn't do what I said. God, why aren't things right with us? And God could say to us in those times, because you're not doing what I told you to do. But I'm thanking you. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me through the Word. But you're not telling anybody else about Him. Make known His deeds. Be a witness. Spread the gospel. Proclaim His goodness and His Word.
I'm afraid that too often we talk about God's blessings with other Christians as though we're talking in code that only other Christians can understand. Did you know that there's absolutely nothing wrong with telling a lost person how good God has been to you, and you should? We get together with other Christians and we say, boy, you know, the Lord really blessed me in this way, and I'm thankful, and I'm thankful. But sometimes in church, we haven't done this in a long time, but sometimes we'll just kind of open up the floor and let people just talk about something. I'm thankful that God has done this. I'm glad that He's done this for me to other Christians, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is not unscriptural to do this, the very same thing around lost people. It's not wrong to do that at work. Well, but my employer says that I can't. Your Savior told you to. We're just going to have to decide who we're going to please. You know, I don't think my family wants to hear it. Your Savior said to tell them. Talk. Make known His deeds. Ask others the question. When you tell people what God has done for you, here's a way to get a witnessing opportunity going. Ask other people this question. Do you know what God's done for you? If a lost person says, what's God ever done for me? Boy, I'm glad you asked. For one, He's allowed you to stay long enough to meet me so I can tell you the gospel. He has let you live on His earth, under His sunshine, breathing His air, drinking His water. And you know, the list goes on and on and on of how God is good and gracious even to lost people. Now, there are blessings that only come to save people, yes, but the Bible tells us that every good gift is from Him. So everybody that woke up this morning, it's by the grace of God that He allowed them. Make known His deeds. Let other people know, this is what God did for me. Ask the question, are you aware of what God has done for you? Don't stop with, well, He let you wake up this morning, you have breath. And you know, don't stop with that. Make sure you don't stop until you tell them what Jesus Christ did for them on Calvary. Okay? Make known His deeds among the people. And notice it doesn't say among this group, that group, these people you're comfortable with. It says among the people. It's funny how we hear these words oftentimes. There's a little phrase that we've heard so much of the last few years. And it's all-inclusive. All-inclusive. We just accept everybody and everything. Hey, you want to see all-inclusive? Look right here. Make known His deeds among the people. God doesn't discriminate, does He? He says, go out there and tell everybody. Tell them all. Tell everybody what I've done for you. Tell everybody what I've done for them. It's not designated to one group or one race or one whatever you want to call it. Go tell everybody what God's done for you, and don't stop till you've told them what He's done for them. Let's look at one more, and then we'll finish this up next week. Sing unto Him. Sing songs unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Do you sing to the Lord? Do you sing to the Lord? I don't mean do you sing because you just like the song, or sing because you love to hear your own voice, or sing because the person who works next to you is always bragging on your voice, or sing because you're on the schedule, or sing, but do you sing unto the Lord? Here's one way that you can kind of start to answer that question.
You ever sing when it's just you and your mind is on the Lord? There are times when I've sat down to pray, and before I can pray, or sometimes I just be out working and I'll be thinking about God and thinking about His Word, and you just can't help but sing. You just can't help. You almost feel like this new song is bursting out of you, and you saying it doesn't seem like enough. Lord, I want to sing it to you. I want to put a melody to this. I want to sing out unto you. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Here's the problem we run into. Too often we think music is God's gift to us, that music is supposed to be for us. Let's write. What's that? What's that old song? Wasn't there an old song that said, I write the words, or I write the songs that make the whole world sing, or something like that? Wasn't that? Was that about 60s, 70s? 70s? Okay, I wasn't alive then, so. Anyhow. Well, Carol always thinks that I was. Don't you remember when that building in the 40s was the... No, and you don't either. So there's, I write the words, or I write the songs, whatever, make the whole world sing. You know why that's true? Because a lot of times music, okay, a lot of times music, we'll not go into a big lengthy sermon about godly music, although I wouldn't be wrong to do so, but we'll not do that tonight. Pardon me, but a lot of times music is written with the intent to affect the heart of the hearer rather than the heart of God. And oftentimes music is written with the intent to move your foot before it moves your heart or your mind. What sounds good? What do I like to hear? Do you know I like to hear some types of music that are not godly? I'll explain it like this. I'll be in a store sometimes, because we still have this dirty thing called the flesh that rears its ugly head from time to time. I'll be in a store and he'll come a song on the radio from my high school days. And it'll be a song that my buddy and I used to blare on the radio, and it has all these memories attached to it. And before I know it, I'm wanting to sing this song, and I realize, wait a minute, that is completely worldly. That's of the world, that's the world's music. Listen to what they're singing about. You know, it's not about your memories here. What is this song? But music oftentimes is written to move your foot before it moves your heart or your mind. And then sometimes it's written to affect your heart or your mind and then stop there. Our songs should always be directed at the heart of God. And if our songs are directed towards the heart of God, Lord, we're not trying to impress one another. We're not playing something that we think sounds... Now, I get that as we sing hymns, there are times that there are some that I might like one more than you like one. There might be one that you like that, pardon me, that I don't like. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there's a song that we do here, and there's nothing wrong with the song at all. Nothing wrong with it at all. And I just really don't like the song. And I will not tell you what it is. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's a doctrinal song. As far as I know, it is. We sing it. I just don't like the song. Now, that one specific song, I kind of have a reason why. There's a little story behind it. But sometimes there'll be a song and I think, But you know why Phyllis sends me the songs, and I don't ever say no to a song if it's one that I just don't care for, because it doesn't matter if I care for it or not. What matters is it appropriate? Is the doctrine correct? Can we sing this to our Savior and glorify and honor Him? And that's all that matters. That's what matters. And the one that I maybe don't like, it might be one of your favorites. But see, we get this idea that music is, it's about us. Well, I like this and I like that and I really like this over here. And we have our preferences. We do. But we have to understand that God gave us the gift of music so that we could use it to glorify and honor Him, not for our pleasure and entertainment. Not that we can't enjoy it ourselves, but we have so, the world has so twisted music into something it was never supposed to be. And I go, I've told you, we go out and we ask people to come to church and they'll say things like, what kind of music you got there? And nobody ever means, do you sing songs that glorify and honor God? They mean, you sing songs that I like. You got any drums? You got any electric guitars? You got any of this? Or, you know, I like this. And I, here's the one that gets me. They've got that stuff. I don't even like to talk about it, but they got that stuff. They call it Christian rock. It's an oxymoron because it doesn't exist. There's no such thing as Christian rock, Christian rap, Christian metal. And here's what people say. They say, well, you know, this is really good. Some guy that grew up listening to that stuff, he gets saved and you can give him this stuff. Let's back that up and think about that. I've heard that I don't know how many times. I've read that I don't know how many times. Oh, it's a good bridge to get people from... get people from their old life. That's what, that sounds like the stuff I used to listen to and kind of, okay. That's like telling somebody that drinks, that just got saved, come on over to my house. Hey, I know you used to drink. We've got Pepsi for everybody else, but I got you a pack of Budweiser. Now don't, I know you normally drink like 12 of them. Only drink about 5 tonight because after all, you're transitioning. You're transitioning over. Why hold on to something of the old life? If that old life was so great, why did you come to Christ? If that old life was so great, why did you come to Christ? And if that old life was terrible, why want the things of the old life? But what happens is people too oftentimes think, music's, it's about me. It's about what I like, what I want to hear, what I want to play. And again, there are personal preferences. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what's the purpose of music. It's a gift from God that we can use to honor and glorify Him. And it shouldn't be all about moving my feet and exciting me, and I like the way that that sounds. It should be, does this please God when He hears it? And do the words of this song help me to concentrate on my Savior? Or am I just paying attention to how well this person's singing or how well they're playing, whatever the case may be? Music is a gift from God that we use to glorify and honor Him. And He tells us to sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Sometimes we just like what affects us when we need to get our minds centered upon what kind of music pleases God. Not what do I want to hear, but what does God want to hear. I'll close with this. In this matter of do you sing unto the Lord? Not just in here, but at home and at work. Do you sing unto the Lord? Do you just sing to Him? Do you just sing? How great Thou art. I long to see my Savior, first of all. Do you just sing to Him? Let me give you this example. I know that oftentimes we think that this is pure Hollywood, but it's not really. Guy's falling in love with this girl, wants to impress her. This part's Hollywood. Throw a rock at the window. She opens the window. He has an old Spanish mandolin, you know, and he's serenading his love. And okay, that part of it may be Hollywood, but a man singing a love song to this woman that he's fallen in love with, that's not Hollywood. When Amy and I were dating, I wrote songs about her, and I would sing those to her, and I would sing other love songs to her and play my guitar and everything. When a man who's musical, he serenades his love. Let me sing to you about how much I love you. Let me sing this song to you that tells you how much I love you.
Why don't we apply that to our God who gave his life for us, who gave us life? Do you sing unto the Lord? Do you sing unto the Lord? Do you let what's in your heart come out? Come out in song. The Bible tells us to sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Let him know through that beautiful music how much you love him and what he means to you. What is the song of your heart? Maybe that's why you're not, if you're not singing unto him, maybe it's because he's not what's important. I like what Brother Tracy said when he was here. If someone ran their fingers across the strings of your heart, what would the sound be? Maybe that's why you're not singing psalms unto him. You're not singing unto the Lord. Maybe that's not where your heart is. If it is, we ought be singing unto him. So are you giving thanks? Are you thanking him for everything? Are you calling on his name? Are you talking to him? Come on, this is the checklist. Are you telling people what he's done for you and what he's done for them? And are you singing unto your Lord? Do I have to do all those things? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. We can just sit where we're at and just kind of, petrify while we're waiting on him to come back and get us. We don't have to be disciples. We don't have to be servants. But why would we not want to be? We're not going to hell anymore. Why would we not want to be his? Okay, next Sunday night we'll finish this up. I'm going to ask Phyllis to go ahead and come, and we'll...